thanks for showing up. It's my first time at the Academy, so it's great to be here. My main job at Trolltech is to maintain and develop the Qt Script module. So that's what I'll be talking about today. So I'll start with an introduction, just roughly show you what it provides, what it's for. I'll show some simple examples showing the code on both the C++ side and the script side, so you can get a feel for the syntax. Then I'll have a short overview of the API. And then I'll show you how to define your own classes in Qt Script, because that's typically what you want to do when you want to extend the script environment. So then I show you how to apply the API to do that. And then I combine those two to show you how this is relevant when you want to script any C++ type. Because the Qt object introspection that Richard was talking about only gets you so far. So what is Qt Script? Well, it's a new module in Qt 4.3 that you probably know. So, and it's also a general purpose script engine that you embed in your C++ application. And the scripting language is based on ECMAScript. I guess you know that by now after Richard's talk. It offers tight Qt object and Qt meta object integration with the Qt object introspection in particular, and also in general for the meta type system, which I will come back to why this is fairly important when you provide your own extensions. So it's very lightweight, has a fairly fast bytecode compiler and interpreter, and it offers a high level API that you use for plugging into the script environment. And it's also very easy to bring into your application, because it has no dependencies outside of Qt. It only links to the Qt core module. So Richard has just talked a bit about this, so I won't go into details. But as I see it, the main areas of use is that you have an existing C++ application, and you want to expose an API to that one. So that, for instance, you can automate tasks and like script the desktop in KDE. The other thing is that you design your applications with scripting in mind, so that you design your interfaces, so that you can, for instance, have small pieces of functionality which are implemented in scripts that use the bindings to your C++ components and can do component wiring and fairly high-level stuff still. I don't think that Qt Script is something that you will use to write full applications. I wrote the calculator example, which is basically a UI file and 95% script code. But if you wanted to do something more, then you would need facilities, which Qt Script doesn't provide, like interfaces or APIs to painting and graphics view. So here's a hello world example. So you have your script engine, which is basically the interpreter. And you have a push button. And you add it to the set of global variables in the script engine. And then you can manipulate the properties of that button in script code. And you can call a slot, like the button show function. The syntax for doing signals and slots connections works like this, that you invoke a connect function on the signal itself. And in the first case, we connect it straight to another C++ slot. In the second example with a combo box, we use the bracket style syntax to pick a particular overload of a signal, and we connect it to a C++ slot. Then in the third example, we connect it to just a script function, an anonymous function. And the last example, we define first the function, and then we use a form of connect which does a bind, so that when the function is called, the this object will be your form object. So I'll just quickly cover the most important functions in the API. Like I said, it's fairly or very high level. So you can evaluate script code, you can see if there was any exceptions, you can get error messages and backtraces. You can do value conversion so that you can go from C++ types to script values that you can expose in the engine. You can construct script objects, you can wrap native functions. There are also additional functions for wrapping or creating date objects and regex and other classes in the ECMA standard. And there's the global object, which has the global variables that will be available to all of your script code. So that's usually where you put your own extensions. And I'll mention set default prototype because that one is very crucial when you want to script any C++ type, not just Q objects, but any type. Then QScript value is a container for the QScript types, both the primitive, like number, boolean, undefined, and for the object types. So you can do type testing and conversion, get and set properties, do comparison according to the ECMA standard so that it behaves the same as when you do a comparison on in script code. And you can call functions, and the construct function is basically equivalent to the new operator. So QScript context is what you want to use when you implement a native function, because there you have access to the functions that are passed to the function from the arguments that was passed to the function from the script, and also to the this object. And the final class, which I'll mention here, is QScriptable, which is an interface that makes it easier to bind C++ types, which I'll come back to how you use. So that's the four core classes that you should, that you need to know about in the beginning at least. So the Qt meta type system integration, well, it can wrap a pointer to a Q object so that you can access the properties, sensings, and slots from a script. And you can control, you can have some optional arguments which allow you to control a bit how this wrapper object behaves. And also the ownership, whether the script should own the Q object so that it will be deleted when it's garbage collected. And there's built-in conversion for the basic C++ and Q types. We map the Q string, Q date, time, and Q regexp to the corresponding ECMA classes, string, date, regexp. And the other types are by default transported in Q variants, but you can define your own custom conversion for any type if you want. So there's also reasonable handling of overloaded functions so that, yeah, QScript will pick the right overload if it's depending on whether the argument is a string or number or a string list. So you typically want to extend, or you have to extend your the script environment to actually be able to use it. So in order to do that, you typically want to expose one or more classes. And then it's useful to know a bit about how inheritance works in ECMAScript. So I'll just quickly cover the basics of that. So in QScript or in ECMAScript, you don't have a class construct. So you define a class in terms of a constructor function and an associated prototype object. And then every object that you create has an internal link to this other object. So the prototype is used then as a fallback, which is very similar to a delegate, for instance, if you're familiar with the item view concepts. And the idea then is that we can quite easily map the constructs of C++ classes to ECMAScript. So here's basically what it looks like. And this is something that can be applied to most any class in principle. So you see on the right side, you have your constructor function, which initializes the new object. And then additionally, you set up a prototype object associated with the constructor. So that whenever you do new person, that person object will actually have an internal link to person.prototype and will thus inherit the full name function from there. And to implement subclassing, well, you call the base constructor, and you initialize the prototype to be an instance of the superclass. And then you initialize the prototype with the additional functionality of the subclass. So here's what this looks like if you use Qt-Script's API. And you have the constructor function, and you have the prototype function. And it's basically looks, if you manage to look behind a bit the verbosity of the C++ code, if you follow the statements, it's mostly the same as in the script code up to the right here. So if you know the concepts of the prototype-based inheritance, you should be able to find the Qt-Script API intuitive to use. Likewise for the subclass, you have the call function in C++ as well to call the base constructor. And you have the construct function to do a new operator. So why do we even care about this? Well, the thing is that you probably have a C++ API you want to expose to scripts. And well, you can do a lot with the QObject introspection. But soon enough, you'll find that, well, not everything is a slot, for instance. And not all types are QObject derived, even in Qt's API. For instance, a QModel index or a QPainter. So that's a problem because it's a bit awkward for the user because he doesn't understand why he can't call clear focus from the script, but he can call set focus because that function just happens to be a slot. So then, and perhaps you also want a custom API on the script side, like Richard said, that you want sort of an adapter or a delegate which doesn't have the exact same or doesn't expose the full API of your C++ application. Well, the solution then is that you can combine the tight meta object or the tight meta type system integration in Qt-Script with the concepts of ECMAScript, the prototype based inheritance in ECMAScript. So the way you do that is you define a single shared prototype object that implements the necessary functionality for a particular C++ type, and the API that you want to expose to scripts. So here's how you can do that really easily. So you have your own custom structure that you want to expose. It's not a Q object, so you can't use the Q meta object introspection. So what we do instead is we just create a plain script object. We give it a property bar with the value of a number 1, 2, 3. And then we use the meta type ID to associate that script object with the C++ type. So what happens then is when you pass the value to a script to the script environment, you wrap it using the template function to script value. And what happens then is that Qt-Script will establish the prototype link for you. So then all the foo instances that appear in scripts will automatically have the properties that they inherit from the prototype object. So what does this mean? Well, for one thing, the C++ value is just a Q variant. So you don't create any wrapper classes. You don't have to create wrapper objects that are, like, if you created the wrapper object that is itself a Q object, which is really heavyweight, instead you just pass around the Q variant. So if that's all you want to do, if you just want to pass it around, then actually you don't have to define a prototype at all. Then you just declare it as, you just declare the meta type, and you can use it in scripts. But if you want to script that type then, access or do operations on it in a script, then that scriptability comes from the prototype relation. And like you saw, the prototype link is automatically set when a value of your type is returned from a slot or a property access function. So you don't have to modify your existing API really. If you have a slot that returns it returns the type foo, then if you set the prototype like this, then it'll just work. And then of course you can pass that value as argument to C++ functions again. So the effect is that you have a really low overhead seamless integration of the C++ types that you can add to the script environment. And although using function pointers and new function to wrap functions, it matches well how ECMAScript works, because in ECMAScript you just have functions. But in C++ we like to write classes. So what we do is we combine the Q object base. You combine the Q object introspection with the Q scriptable interface. So you do that by subclassing Q object and Q scriptable, and then you can define the interface to your type using normal ways with slots and properties. So this is your delegate, basically. So in the delegate functions in the slots, you have access to the actual real object that you want to manipulate through this object. And then, then you can just perform the processing you want using the normal C++ API. So this trades some performance for convenience, because it's a bit more overhead that you always call, or that you go through the Q meta object introspection, rather than using the more low-level function pointer wrapping. But it depends really on how much work you do in the slot itself. Because if you do a lot of work in the slot, then the performance isn't really affected. So the thing about writing bindings yourself or setting up this stuff is that you really have to be a bit of an expert, both on ECMAScript and how QtScript works, and the Q meta object introspection. So in order to improve that situation, we are researching a binding generator. And we are basically looking at what was done, or how the Qt Jambi generator was implemented, and trying to write the backend that will generate bindings, for instance, for all of Qt, or for the GUI classes in Qt, so that you can just have the same API on the script side. And then you also, or the plan is that it should be flexible enough that you can use this generator on your own APIs, so that you don't have to do all the magic stuff and know all the, that you don't have to know how to, for instance, map namespaces to ECMAScript, and how to map enums and static functions and things like that. And also to cope with multiple inheritance, because ECMAScript just doesn't support it, which is a major bummer, for instance, because QWidget inherits from both QObject and QPaint device, and you would ideally want to expose the functions from both classes, both subclasses, or base classes, I mean. The last thing about that is that it should have an option to generate shell classes, like in Jambi, so that you can define the virtual functions of your class in a script. So that, for instance, you can define your own paint events or key event handling, so you can go beyond just doing just wiring together components. You can actually write at least some of the logic in your application in script. Yep. That's what I intended to cover.
Any questions?
Yes.
When putting C++ headers to your binding generator, do you just take a single header file, or do you give all the Q all the header files at once? Because
binding generator doesn't do anything or just skips template classes for now.
Okay, so all the templates. So if I have, I don't know whether that method still exists in Qt's with Qt-splitting before, but it used in a function which lets you define all the sizes of the splitter by passing a Q-value list of integers. And when you see, you couldn't grab that function, for instance.
You would.
Because it takes a template or rather a specific instantiation of the template.
Yeah. What we generally do with the templates functions is that you can define that it should, that for instance, if you have a Q vector of int, then it should be converted to an actual ECMAScript array.
Okay.
Rather than actually wrapping the Q vector of int, we just convert it to a real JavaScript object. Yes. Yeah, well, we have in 4.3, we have that you can get process events to be called at regular intervals so that you can detect if something is just hanging and not doing anything. And we also got a request, which is probably, it's scheduled for 4.4, is to just stop the execution so that, yeah, you can stop the execution at any time. Unfortunately, yeah, that won't be possible with 4.3. Yes?
Have you looked at all multi-threading the interpreter? Just so that you can have multiple things currently executed.
Yeah, currently the Qt classes are not thread safe. Yeah. They are reentrant, yeah.
Not the same object.
Each script object is intimately tied to the engine it was created in. So of course you can clone it. We have a class in C++ which is called QScriptValueIterator. So, and it gives you a Java iterator API for iterating over all the properties of an object. So you can use that to clone an object and then add the new object to the other engine.
Any other questions? Okay, then thanks again, Ken. Before you all leave for the lunch break, Adrian has an announcement.
An announcement about lunch, which is important. Those people that signed up for the cheap lunch option, it's in 5.11, just over there. And I have an announcement about PR and press. If you have been working on something really cool during the talks or have got a bright new idea, the press room is 5.12. Talk to your sports fleet. He's really keen to know what kind of cool stuff is going on here at Academy. And now it's lunchtime.